Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. We're so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. In today's sermon, we begin a new series of sermons through the book of Hebrews. In this book of Hebrews, we see that Christ is supreme and we see that Christ is final. His sacrifice of what he did for us on the cross is fully expounded upon, even more so in the book of Hebrews. In this book, we see three themes that kind of traverse their way through the book. And the first theme is that Jesus is greater. The second theme is Jesus is the better sacrifice. And the third theme is Jesus is the perfecter of faith. We hope you enjoy this sermon as we introduce the book of Hebrews. And we hope you enjoy all the other sermons that follow. If you have any questions about the gospel or about Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a blessed week. Good morning. Let's begin by reading Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you for the book of Hebrews. We thank you for the letter to the Hebrews this morning. God, we thank you for these first couple of verses, Lord, how it speaks to how long ago you spoke to us, you spoke to the people by the prophets. But now, Lord, you speak through Jesus. You speak through Jesus. Lord, today as we introduce ourselves to the book of Hebrews and we just begin to learn more and just kind of capture the themes of Hebrews as we will see as we make our way through it, Lord, help us to tune our hearts into your word, to not be distracted by outside things or things rambling through our minds, Lord, but to focus on you and your word this morning, Lord. God, I pray that you would help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion this morning, Lord, and I preach nothing but your word and your truth alone. God, we thank you for Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is finished. It is finished. Jesus was on the cross and he was passing away, and his last few words before he died was, "It is finished." In a sermon a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the crucifixion of Jesus and how we saw that whenever he died and when he said it is finished, it fully accomplished salvation for all who would believe. At the death of Jesus, every believer, every would-be believer, their salvation would be accomplished. And why was this so? It was so because Jesus was the final sacrifice. His sacrifice was a one-time thing. It would be forever. It would last forever. There would need to be no more sacrifices. And the sins of all who would believe would have their sins forgiven in that moment. The words, "It is finished," in many ways sums up the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a book that focuses almost entirely on Christ and why what he did on the cross was better and greater than anything that happened in the Old Testament. As one commentator says, the grand theme of this epistle is the supremacy and finality of Christ. Christ is supreme, and Christ is final. The book of Hebrews is a book that teaches the supremacy of Christ. It teaches the finality of Christ and what Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished." Today, as I've already mentioned, we're going to begin a new book study. Just as I've made our way through the book of 1 Timothy last year, we're going to make our way progressively through the book of Hebrews. And this book, let me tell you, it's an incredible little book. It's a great book. It speaks highly of Christ, and it shows us the greatness of what Christ did for us. And as we make our way through Hebrews, it will ultimately expand our review of who Christ is and what He did for us. And the more expansive our view of Christ, the greater our view of Christ is and what He accomplished on the cross is for us. The more we will love Jesus and His gospel because of what Jesus did. The more we will grow in our grace and knowledge of Jesus. The book of Hebrews, more than any other New Testament book, shows us the greatness of Christ. And the more we see the greatness of Christ, the greater Christ will become in our very own lives. This is why we're going to study the book of Hebrews. To see the greatness of Jesus. To see the greatness, the so much betterness of Jesus. So in way of introducing the book, there's a few questions for us to answer. So in our sermon, we're going to introduce ourselves to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to see some themes, and as we've already read the first two verses. But one of the many questions that always comes up with the book of Hebrews is, who wrote Hebrews? Who is the author of Hebrews? Who wrote it? And the answer I propose to you today is, we don't know. We just don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews is unknown, and we cannot definitively say who is the author of Hebrews. The letter itself does not tell us who wrote the letter of Hebrews. No other book in the New Testament tells us who wrote Hebrews. There's very little outside sources to who may have wrote Hebrews. So if anyone ever says they know who wrote the letter of Hebrews, I promise you it's just a guess. Scholars don't have a clue. Many people think that Paul may have wrote the letter of Hebrews. But it's also very likely that it wasn't Paul that wrote Hebrews. Some think Barnabas wrote Hebrews. Some think Luke, some think Apollos, some think Priscilla, some think Silas, some think Epaphras. You're beginning to see the idea here, right? We don't know. As one really old dead guy said, God only knows who wrote the letter of Hebrews. We honestly just don't know. But church, we may not know who this author of this letter is, but we do know that this letter is God-inspired. And we do know that this letter is God's breath. And we can trust every single word. The next question that comes up is, when was the letter written? When did this letter become written? Many scholars, many people believe that the letter was written prior to AD 70. In AD 70, the temple was destroyed. And because Hebrews focuses very much on the sacrificial system that would have taken place in the temple, it makes sense that it would have been wrote before AD 70. The most likely date for the book is to be around AD 64. The next question that we ask is, who was it written to? Who was the letter of Hebrews written to? As many of the other letters written in the New Testament, we see that there is an author, and we see who they're writing to. As we just read the first couple of verses there's no, I write this book to these people. So we really don't know who the original audience is. We really don't know who this letter was written to. And many of the other New Testament books like Ephesians and Galatians and Philippians and Corinthians and Romans, those are all made known to us. And they're addressed to that specific church. But in Hebrews, we don't know. There's a lot. As I began my study on the background and trying to establish context through the letter of Hebrews, I've just come to the conclusion there's just a lot that people don't know about the background and context of this book. But the title itself is the letter to the Hebrews. And this title actually did not come until a later date. So with all that to say, while we don't know who the original audience is, it is highly likely that it was written to Jewish Christians. And what I mean by that is it's Jews that have converted to Christianity. And it makes sense, because when you read through the book of Hebrews, you see them talk about, or you see the author talk about the Old Testament tremendously. We see the sacrificial system talked about tremendously. And the Jewish people would have been the people that would have relied on that. And they would have also been the people that would have gone back to that system. And so the author is trying to say that Jesus is greater. Jesus is better than all of that. You don't have to go back. So it makes sense that it would have been Jewish Christians. The last final question that we ask is, what type of letter is this? What type of letter is this? If you were to read chapter 1, as we just kind of pointed out to you, there's no address, there's no introduction to whom wrote it, to whom it was written to. As most of the other letters in the New Testament have, they have an introduction to who wrote it and who it was written to, but Hebrews doesn't have that. So it makes it different. It makes it a lot different. As a matter of fact, many scholars believe that Hebrews is simply a sermon. It's a sermon that one would have wrote down and sent to another church. It's just a written sermon. And we should, in many ways, read it as such. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22 says this, and this is where many scholars get this idea from. And it says, I appeal to you, brothers, hear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Now we think about the word exhortation. To exhort something, or to exhort, is to strongly encourage someone, right? When you exhort them, you're strongly encouraging them. So a sermon is very much the preacher strongly encouraging the people of God to live according to God's word, right? So we get this idea that this exhortation is a sermon. And as we begin making our way through this sermon, you will begin to see how it makes sense. The author will quote an Old Testament passage, and then they will explain it. And this happens over and over and over. What is a sermon? Quoting a passage of Scripture and explaining it. On that note, the letter of Hebrews shows us also exactly why the Old Testament is important and needed. You may have heard of people, or maybe you have people in your life, or have heard people say that they've decided to never read the Old Testament again because it's no longer necessary. Anybody ever heard someone say that before? The Old Testament's not needed. I'm not going to read it. I've heard several people say that. But the book of Hebrews proves that wrong. The book of Hebrews proves that wrong because the author uses so many Old Testament passages that show us how much greater Jesus is. And the Old Testament is still needed and necessary for the Christian life. So my encouragement to you is, if you haven't been studying and reading through the Old Testament, then there's no better time than now to begin reading through the Old Testament. At the beginning of the year, we created an Old Testament reading plan. And as you go out, I'd just like to encourage you to pick up that reading plan and just begin reading. Just start where we are today and just begin reading through that plan and be encouraged by the Old Testament. And yes, the Old Testament can be challenging to understand due to a number of different things, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to read and study it, right? So, let's go back through what we know and in some cases what we don't know. We know that the letter was written in AD 64. We don't know who wrote the letter. We don't necessarily know who the original audience was, but we know that it was likely Jewish Christians or Jews who had been converted to Christianity. And the type of letter is, it is a sermon. It's a sermon. And so, the other thing that we see, I think it's here, is the grand theme. And that is the supremacy and finality of Christ. The theme is Jesus. The theme is Christ. And so in our sermon today, we're going to explore three themes in the letter of Hebrews. Three themes in the letter of Hebrews. The first theme that we see is that Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. This is the one theme that we see throughout the first few chapters of Hebrews. We will actually begin exploring this theme just in a few short weeks. But for now, just follow along and see what I mean by saying that Jesus is greater. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, speaking of Jesus, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And what we see here, the simple point is that Jesus is greater and superior than the angels. Angels are beneath Jesus. Essentially, we see that angels would worship Jesus. Jesus is, just as Jesus is greater than what we are, so Jesus is greater than what the angels are. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3, we see another part, and it says, "For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has honor than the house itself." Again, we see here that Jesus is greater than Moses, right? He is greater than Moses. He is worthy of more glory than Moses. And the reason Jesus is greater than Moses is because Jesus is the builder of the house. We read earlier in Colossians chapter 1 that Jesus is the one that is responsible for creating the universe. He played a very crucial role in that. Jesus did what even Moses couldn't do. Jesus created. He had a very active role. It's His house. And the author of Hebrews is showing us that Jesus is greater than Moses. Another example of how Jesus is greater is that He is greater than the Levitical priest. The role of the priest in the Old Testament was to offer up sacrifices to God on behalf of the people of Israel, right? And these sacrifices would have been done over and over and over for the sins of the people to be forgiven. Every single year this would happen. But Jesus is greater than all those priests. Because His sacrifice that He did, the sacrifice of Himself, was final. It was once and final. In chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we see that Jesus is the sinless high priest, the chosen high priest, how He is like Melchizedek, and that Jesus is the priest king. And Jesus is the great high priest of the new covenant. One verse we see is in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. It says this, "For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever." The high priest, guess what? They were still sinners. They still made their own mistakes. And before they could sacrifice on behalf of the other people, they first had to sacrifice for themselves. Jesus, on the other hand, was entirely different. He had no sin. Jesus was perfect. Jesus didn't have to sacrifice for Himself first. And because of that, it makes Jesus greater than the Levitical priest. Jesus is greater, and this is something we should all be remembering in our lives, because not only is Jesus greater than all those people, as I've mentioned here, but Jesus is also greater than any sin or any problem we ever will have in our life. Jesus is greater than that. No matter how big or how bad or how evil or wicked the sin is, no matter how crazy the problem is, Jesus is greater than even that. And the reason is, it's because Jesus is the one who forgives any sin that is. Jesus can and will forgive us. And any problem we have is the one who we have. Jesus is the one who gives us the strength to overcome it. Jesus is greater, and we must never forget it. The second theme that we see here is that Jesus is the better sacrifice. Jesus is the better sacrifice. We see this theme mostly in chapter 9, but also in chapter 10. And as I've mentioned already before, in the Old Testament, the people would have to make a sacrifice, right? They have to sacrifice an animal in order to have their sins forgiven. We will learn more about this as we continue to make our way through the letter of Hebrews, as they are crucial in understanding these passages. But in recent weeks, we looked at Jesus dying sacrificially on the cross, how he was crucified. And the one thing we must remember, the one thing we must know, is that Jesus sacrificially died. He sacrificially went to the cross, sacrificially stayed on the cross. But Jesus, you know what? He had the power. He could have easily decided, I don't want to go to this cross. He could have easily decided, I don't want to stay on the cross and come down from there. But instead, Jesus stayed, ultimately sacrificing himself. Nobody else sacrificed Jesus. He sacrificed himself. He put himself on the cross. And on that very same day, the day of preparation, the day in which all the sacrificial lambs that were brought to the temple, they too would also be sacrificed. But which sacrifice was better? Which sacrifice was greater? Jesus or those lambs? Church, Jesus is the better sacrifice because his sacrifice is final. His sacrifice accomplished salvation for all those who would believe. And because of that, the new covenant is better than the old covenant. Jesus became the mediator for us. We no longer need a priest to mediate on our behalf. Jesus is that, because Jesus is better. The people in the old covenant, every year, would have to take a lamb to sacrifice. Every single year. To read a couple verses from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 through 28, it says this: "Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest who enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own. For then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it was appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Church, Jesus is the better sacrifice because he doesn't have to be sacrificed every single year. Jesus only had to suffer once. Jesus only had to be sacrificed once. Jesus, through his sacrifices, put away sin of all those who would believe. Praise the Lord for the sacrifice. Praise the Lord that we don't need to offer another sacrifice every year. Praise the Lord we don't have to take a lamb to the temple and sacrifice it. Praise the Lord, Jesus is better. Jesus is better. We've seen that Jesus is greater. We've seen that Jesus is better. And now we're going to see that Jesus is the perfecter of the faith. Perfecter of faith. Jesus is the perfecter of faith. Faith matters, doesn't it? Faith matters a lot in this Christian life. For one to be a believer, they have to have faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 teaches us, looking to Jesus, that's not right. There it is. "For by grace," Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Faith is crucial to the life of the believer. Now, think about the word faith for me. Faith always has an object, doesn't it? Faith always has an object. You have to put your faith in that object. To give you an example, if there was a chair sitting here and I was going to sit in that chair, I'd be putting my faith in what? That chair to hold me up, right? The chair is the object of my faith. Every one of you right now, sitting in these pews, your faith is in that pew to hold you up, isn't it? The object of your faith is in the pew. Faith requires an object. Church, the object of our faith is Jesus. The object of our faith is Jesus. It is Jesus and no one or anything else. And the reason it's Jesus is because He is the perfecter of our faith. When we get to Hebrews 10 and 11, we will see the word faith many times. Hebrews 11 is the great hall of faith. It's the whole chapter talking about the faithful people in the Old Testament. And in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Because Jesus is greater, because Jesus is the better sacrifice, Jesus can and is the perfecter of faith. He is the only object that we can put our faith in and it be perfectly right. I can put my faith in that chair to hold me up, but you know what? One day it might fail me. It might fall through. I can put my faith in my spouse, but one day she's going to sin against me and I'm going to be hurt. I can put my faith in money, but one day it may not be there. And I'm going to be depressed and stressed. I can put my faith in myself, my very own self, but one day I will realize that I'm not strong enough. That I'm not good enough. That I'm not righteous enough. But you know who is? Jesus Christ is. Jesus is the object of our faith. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. In our sermon today, we've seen three themes in the book of Hebrews. The first theme is that Jesus is greater. He's greater than angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the Levitical priest. We also seen that Jesus is the better sacrifice. His sacrifice was final. His sacrifice was once for all. Jesus does not go to the cross and sacrifice Himself again every time we sin. Jesus was the better sacrifice. He is the better sacrifice. And the third thing we looked at is Jesus is the perfecter of faith. Faith requires an object, and Jesus is the object of our faith, and because He is the object of our faith, He is the perfecter of faith. Our faith that we have in Jesus is a perfect faith. A faith that cannot fail us. Church, the book of Hebrews is a book that will demand a response from us every single time we open it up and study it. It is a book that makes much of Jesus, and it will ultimately compel us as well to make much of Jesus in our own lives. My prayer is that we as a church will continue to see Jesus for who He is and what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. What His death really meant for us. And if you are here today and you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've never put your faith in Jesus, I want to encourage you that today is the day to do that. If your faith is not in Jesus, then that ultimately means it's in something else. Maybe it is your wealth. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's even in yourself. Your faith can be in anything else. And right now, I just want to take a moment and just ask you this very simple question. What is my faith in? What is your faith in? And it can be literally anything. It can be anything. What are you grounding your faith in? What are you holding your faith in? Now I want you to think about this object or thing that you're holding your faith in and ask yourself this question. Has this ever failed me? Or will it ever fail me? Could it fail me? Friend, I want you to know that the faith that you have in things of this world will always fail you. They will always fail you. The money may not always be there. The job you have may not always be there. Your spouse isn't perfect. I'm sorry to let you know that. I'm sorry that you're hearing that as a spouse. That's even for me. Yourself, I've even let myself down. But you know who you can put your faith in and it will never, ever fail you? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only thing, the only one that we can put our faith in and it does not fail us. Jesus is the only one that we can put our faith in and that does us no wrong. As I read earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Faith is a gift that comes from God. And right now I want you to know that this gift is being extended to you. It's being extended to you. And all you have to do is respond by receiving this gift of God. By believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Believing that Jesus died for you and for your sins. Believing that Jesus went to the cross for you. Believing that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, overcoming sin and overcoming death. If this is you today and you're wanting to make the decision to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that right now. To respond right now to receiving the gift of God, the gift of faith from God, the gift of salvation. If that's you and you're interested and want to have a conversation about that during our time of invitation, you can come down and talk with me, or on the way out, if you want to have a conversation about that, I would be more than happy to have a conversation with you about this decision you are making. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness this morning, Lord. God, we thank you for Jesus and what he did on the cross. Lord, we thank you that he is greater. We thank you that he is better. And we thank you that he is the perfecter of our faith. God, as we begin this study through the book of Hebrews, Lord, help us to see the greatness of Jesus. Help us to see how awesome and wonderful Jesus is. Help us to fall more in love with Jesus and his sacrifice. Help us to love his gospel. And Lord, I just pray that that will ultimately in return just propel us to want to share Jesus to those in this world. To proclaim the gospel to all around us, Lord. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.